All right, morning. Today's daf in Bechoris is daf Chaf Tes, 29. Just about halfway through the Masechta. Pretty quick. I feel like we just started it. When the fourth parak, we have a couple more blot to go in the till we get to the end of the fourth parak, and we turn to a beautiful discussion of the Gemara regarding gross errors of judgment, and I mean that both literally and figuratively. First, we're going to talk about literally gross errors of judgment. So we're at the Mishnah on the middle of Chavches Amud Beis, and the Mishnah starts off Danas Adin. So you're asked to judge a case, and so you judge. So and you make mistakes, terrible mistakes. Zika Sachayev, someone who was guilty, you found innocent. Chayev Sazaka, people who were innocent, you found guilty. Timei Satahor. The object was either a food or was a keli, or it could have been a person, asked you, am I tamei? And really, in truth, he was tahor, and you said, yeah, you're tamei. And tir satamei, and the opposite, you're mitahir, somebody who was actually tamei, you said to him, no problem at all. So, masha asa asui. So, look, what's done is done, meaning it's a psak, meaning, right? You're done. However, you have liability. So even though you were practicing law, but here I don't mean in the form of a lawyer, meaning you in the form of a judge. You thought you were judging. You resembled a judge. You performed like a judge. But now you're liable and you're on the hook. So, okay, there's a lot to discuss over here in the Mishnah. Let's just finish.
Correct.
But wait. Let's go through all the permutations. However, however, if he's mumchel abeizden, so if he's certified, right, mumchel abeizden, or the Rosh has a mumchel rabim, he has actual certification to go ahead and to be a judge, patur malashalom. So that what that certification provides him is indemnity. It protects him. It's analogous to a doctor. Once the doctor is licensed and certified, so he is somewhat protected. Somewhat protected. Right. Danny, they still go after you, don't they? Right. Fine. So with certification of what the mission refers to as mumchel rabim, so it gives you a certain amount of protection from any type of personal liability that you may have as a result of error. Okay, now obviously there's a lot to discuss in this Mishnah over here, but let me steer the discussion in the direction of the Gemara, which is the following. Look, you weren't, obviously the Mishnah is talking about somebody who was not certified. Okay, but asked to judge a case, so he judged a case. How difficult can it be to be a judge? Right, you see all these people, you know, behaving like judges. So I could do it too, no problem at all. Right, right. So it does make a difference. The Gemara Sanhedrin, which we happen to be doing this year in the high school, right, discusses a scenario where you basically say to yourself, "Look, he's not certified, but I accept him. You accept him, good. Let's go forward." Right, unclear. It's not right. Naman alai abba, naman alai roi bakar. Unclear. But here, let's just deal with the simple, again, I'm just going to steer the discussion in the direction of the Gemara, but we're really talking about the issue of nezek, meaning you caused damage, right? By you ruling erroneously, and you weren't certified to do so, so you caused damage. So let's talk now in terms of what we generally know by nezek, okay? Nezek means if I do damage, I have to pay for what I did damage. So I take my car and I ram it into your car, so I have to pay. I take my car and I ram it into you, I got to pay. Meaning, it's right. There's bodily damage, there's property damage. Okay, there's a world of nezek. So essentially what the Mishnah here is describing is that to a certain degree, you're a mazik. You cause damage, and so therefore you have to pay. But wait a second, not so fast. In the world of nezek, when do you have to pay when you're a mazik? Only when you're a mazik biyadayim. Meaning you damage, you have to pay, but only if that damage came from you. Physically, you have to be a physical damager. In other words, either you're damaging or your property is damaging. But the damage has got to actually be done by you. Over here, what happened? So I told him to give him money. So I caused damage, but I wasn't a mazik biyadayim, meaning he listened to me because, again, they thought I was a judge. So it's true that I did cause a loss, but in the world of Nezikin, we're not going to call this mazik biyadayim. You know what term we're going to use for this? This is grama. This is causative damage. And generally, what do we say? Grama b'nezikin is pater. That if I'm just a causation of damage, so under such circumstances, that's only grama, and grama b'nezikin is pater. Okay, now I understand. So I understand what I did is I presented the two extremes, meaning there's a category called nezik b'adayim, and there's a category called grama. And you're looking at this case over here, it's certainly not nezik b'adayim, right? I didn't actually go over and take the money out of his hands, although stay tuned because the Gemara may go to that extreme. Okay, stay tuned for just a second. But in other words, we're just looking at the Mishnah at its face value. All I did is, as I was asked to render opinion, I rendered opinion. Now, I'm not certified, so I'm not indemnified. But I was asked to render an opinion. I rendered an opinion. And so now, as a result of what I said, so he took money out of his pocket and he gave it to him, and I was wrong, and I was erroneous. But I didn't do that with my hands. They listened to me, but that's just causative damage. That's grama b'nezikin. And generally speaking, grama b'nezikin is pater. So now you understand the Gemara. The Gemara says, lema tanan stamaka rameir, didandina digarmi. So the Gemara says, you know, it's funny, but if the Mishnah sounds a lot like Rav Meir, because Rav Meir is Don Dina de Garmi. Now, Rav Meir is comfortable. He's fine with the world of Grama. Meaning, even if you didn't actually damage, but you're just a causative damage, so Rav Meir says you're going to be liable. Now, people should know that there's a term over here called Garmi. Is that the exact same thing as Grama? So Rashi assumes always it's basically the same thing. Grama, Garmi, right? Just, you know, more or less the same. There is a Ramban who not writes a comment, but writes a sefer on this topic of Dina de Garmi. And he makes distinctions between what is Grama versus what's Garmi. Right? Grama is really like, you didn't do the damage. It was as a result, like one action led to another action led to another action. And it's a domino effect, but you didn't do the Nezik B'Adayim. Garmi is somewhat more connected to you. So, not for us, not for now, right now, but, you know, in general, and it's just an entire sefer of the Ramban dedicated to this topic of Grama versus Garmi, but right now, let's just say it's simple. Meaning, you didn't do the damage yourself, you're just a causative of the damage. And that's Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that you're Chayev. So you want to tell me that our Mishnah follows like Rav Meir. Now, it's not the end of the world, by the way, to say that our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, Stam Mishnah Rav Meir. It's not that bad. But what the Gemara always likes to try to do is not try to pigeonhole a Mishnah. If we can explain a Mishnah, not according to Rav Meir, but according to the more prevalent position, so the Gemara likes to do that. So Amar Abilai, Amar Rav, Kigon. So now what we're going to do is we're going to suggest that our Mishnah is talking about a very specific case in which it's not Grama, but it's Nezek B'Yadayim. Give me examples of that. The Gemara says, sure, Kigon Shanasa V'Nasam B'Yad. So the Gemara says, well, you as the judge actually went into the defendant's pocket, took out the money, and handed it to the plaintiff. Okay, good. I mean, good. Meaning, good in the sense that now our Mishnah is not talking about grama, you're a mazik b'yadayim. Not only did you rule, but you actually transfer the money. So the Gemara says, bishla mechayv esazakai kegon shenasam v'nasam b'yad. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand that in one sense of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Chayv es hazakai. He was innocent and you found him to be guilty. Okay, so in other words, it was an innocent defendant and you said, no, you have to pay. And then you actually reached into his pocket and took out money. Good. So that's an easy case in which we can turn our Mishnah into Nezek B'Adayim. El Azika is a Chayv, but if somebody was actually obligated, the defendant was obligated, and you turn to the defendant and say, oh no, you're not obligated. So there, where's the Nezek B'Adayim? How are you going to explain the Mishnah there as a case of Nezek B'Adayim? Hechi dami d'amalei pater ata v'halo nasa v'nasam b'yad. Yeah, but we're looking for every case of our Mishnah to be Nezek B'Adayim. So if I say, no, you don't have to pay, I wasn't mazik b'yadayim. I'm Ravina kegon shayi lo mashkom and not lo haymanu. So the Gemara gives a very simple suggestion, which is that the defendant had mashkon. He collateralized a loan, and there was collateral by the plaintiff. And not only did the judge say to the defendant, "You're fine, you're good, you don't owe anything," he then went to the plaintiff, took the mashkon, took the collateral, and handed it back to the defendant and said, "Okay, now we're all good." Good. That's mazik b'yadayim. Okay. Now, that is cases 1 and 2 of the Mishnah. Two more cases to go in the Mishnah where we're going to try to explain our Mishnah as a case of nezik b'yadayim, where the judge didn't just simply issue a ruling, but he actually did something to substantiate his ruling. So in the transfer of money, we came up with cases, even in the case where he said the defendant does not have to pay, we figured out a case with a mashkon of how he transferred money. How are you going to do that by tumah tahara? Gemara is going to think of cases. Timeis tahor de agabahu sheretz. Look, right, there was a kli that came to the judge, and to this judge in this case, a posek, and he says, "Is it tameh or is it tahor?" And explained to him the circumstances. So he thinks, he sees, and he says, "It's tameh." And meanwhile, it's not. And then the judge says, "You know how sure of tameh it is? Allow me to show you." And he takes a sheretz and he touches it to the kli and he says, "Good."
Not for sure.
Now, right? If you didn't believe me then, now you're for sure going to believe me. It's tameh. So that's how a case of nezek b'yadayim. Well, if it's a simple case of kli like I gave you, then yes. So could we talk about kli cheres? Okay, that's one suggestion. We talk about food.
Right.
Okay, another suggestion. Well, I'm saying, yeah, but that's the least of his issues. I mean, you may be right, but the Mishnah is interested in his monetary liability. Tears of Tameh. Now, something's actually Tameh, and he rendered it Tahor. So where's the damage? In other words, again, we're looking for Nezik B'Yadayim. Where's the damage? She'irvan in Perasav. So he says, "Look, I'm so sure it's tahor. Here, watch." And he takes the tameh food and he mixes it with other tahor food. Again, render based on his psak that it's tahor. And now, voila, it's, you know, and obviously he created a mixture enough where there wasn't bittul, and so that's how he caused more damage. Perfect. Okay. So what we learned now is a Mishnah, and the Mishnah tells us that if you're a judge and you're not certified, you're not mumcha l'rabim, so you're going to be liable for any egregious error of judgment. Okay? But certification provides you protection. It provides you a level of being a mumcha, being certified. Exactly. In other words, correct. It's the same idea. It's the same basic idea. But you're only going to be insured if you are certified. If you're not licensed, then obviously you're not going to get insured. So, and then the next Mishnah is a follow-up to this discussion. Maisa Bipara. Okay, there was a story once with a cow. Now, I know we are so far off from the world of Bechoros, but it's fun stuff, and you'll see a lot of interesting principles regarding gross error of judgment. There was a story with a cow. Shenidla Ha'im Shala. So this cow was given a hysterectomy, is that correct, when you take the uterus out? Okay. So shenitla ha'im shala ve'hechila Rabbi Tarfon l'klavim, and now the question came to Rabbi Tarfon: this cow, where the uterus was removed, so let me ask you a question: is it a treifa? And Rabbi Tarfon says, "Yeah, it is." Now Rabbi Tarfon erred in judgment. So v'ha'uba ma'isel lefnei chachamim biyavne v'itirua, and the case then rolled on. I'm not really sure how it rolled on. Rabbi Tarfon ruled that should have been the end of the story. But somehow, or maybe word of the case rolled on, and the Chachamim and Yavne said, "No, that's fine. Animal's not a treifa, right? Animal's going to be fine without the uterus. It'll live. Just won't have a baby." So, she'amar tudas harofe, v'chazira yotzei malakzandra shemetzrayim she'en chotchena im shalah, v'shul shalo seled. In fact, tudas the doctor said, this was standard procedure for any exportation that came out of Egypt. Right, when they exported out of Egypt pigs and donkeys, right? Pigs and donkeys? No, I'm sorry.
Pigs, cows, and
pigs and cows. When pigs and cows were exported out of Egypt, so the Egyptians wanted to corner the market on the pigs and cows. They did not want the pigs and cows to come out. Right, right. They did not want them to be duplicated and replicated outside of Egypt. Right, they wanted a monopoly. So brilliant. So what they did is that whenever they exported any female animal, so the first thing they did is they took out the uterus. Good. Okay, done. Okay, we're not no competition. So right, it's an easy way to do business. Okay, I understand not ethical, but okay, it's easy. So now that that's the case, but what's the point? The point is that you see these animals go on and live despite the fact that the uteruses have been removed. So it's not a trefa. And so we've now turned our attention back to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, you erred in judgment. So Amar Rabbi Tarfon, halcha chamurcha Tarfon. Oh, Rabbi Tarfon, there goes your donkey. Meaning, I made an error in judgment, and now I'm liable. I'm on the hook. I have to pay. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva turns to his friend Rabbi Tarfon, and he says to him, Rabbi Tarfon, ata mumcha lebeizdin. No, you're certified. You're mumchel rabim. Okay, you made an error, but humans are going to do that. But because you're certified and because you're mumchel rabim, so therefore you don't have to pay, and you are off from having to pay. Now, huh? Perhaps. I mean, you know, to clear his conscience. But I'm not sure if that's required. I'm not sure if there's a. If there's a, you know, Latzis Lidei Shamayim aspect to all this. I'm unsure about that. But over here, another, so the one interesting idea that the Mishnah is presenting to us is the idea that when you're a Mumchel Rabim, when you're certified, so that's it, that indemnifies you or protects you. Okay, good. There's another idea, however, which the Mishnah does not talk about. And that is the following, and the Gemara has this discussion. What kind of mistake did Rabbi Tarfon make? So the answer is a big one. I know I'm not giving halachic parameters to the size of his mistake, but it was a big one. It was a gross error in judgment, right? He thought that an animal where the aim, where the uterus was removed, is going to be a trefa, and so he told the questioner, "You can't eat it. You got to feed it to your dogs," which obviously incurs a loss. Okay, that part is easy. There's a Mishnah in Chulin. We all remember it, hopefully. Third parak of Chulin, and the Mishnah says that an animal whose uterus is removed is not a trefa. So the extent of Rabbi Tarfon's mistake is that he was toeh bedvar Mishnah. He forgot about a Mishnah. Now, it's interesting. Okay, so what we're going to say, Aaron's a good point, it's better than good point, is that when we say toeh bedvar Mishnah, we're looking back at things that are so cut and dry that they made it to the Mishnayos. Meaning, so obviously back then, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, they didn't have the Mishnayos as we had it back then, but there are certain basic tenets of halacha that are so clear cut that they're not. It's not even a mistake. We're not even going to call that an error. Well, the other level, meaning that's called a gross error. What's not a gross error? What's right, toa b'shikol hadas. If I make a mistake on something where it could go either way, it could be weighed a number of ways. Look, how many times do we go through a Mishnah and we find there's a debate on an issue? The shikol hadas, meaning there are various ways to look at it. But then there's something called toa b'dvar Mishnah. Toa b'dvar Mishnah means the Mishnah says something so clear cut and you rule to the contrary. This is going to be interesting. You're not going to be on the hook for that. There's no liability for that. Why not? So the basic explanation is because you didn't issue a ruling. You, in other words, you said something, it was so grossly incorrect, that's not even a ruling, that's not even a hara'ah. Okay, again, there's a certain issue of... Correct. There's a lot of dovetailing, right? There's a lot of dovetailing between what I'm explaining right now and what we learned back then. So, but over here, the Gemara now is going to be bothered by this question. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva turns to Rabbi Tarfon and, as a words of consolation, says to him, "Look, don't worry about it. You're not going to have to pay over here because you're a mumchel rabim." The Gemara says, "V'tepakle, v'toa b'dvar Mishnah, v'toa b'dvar Mishnah chozer." So, why doesn't Rabbi Akiva say to Rabbi Tarfon, in addition? Well, that's already the answer. But something more basic is then you being a mumcha l'rambam is that that was such a gross error. Meaning, words of consolation are, oh, don't worry, you really goofed. Meaning, that wasn't a minor error in judgment. That was a gross error in judgment, and that's not a ruling, and so therefore you're not liable. Why didn't Rabbi Kiva say that to Rabbi Tarfon? And the Gemara's answer is very simple. Yeah, he did say that. Chadva od kamar, chadva de tabut var mishna choseva od inami, bishikol adas teita mumchala basin atavachol, mumchala basin patam la shalem. It was two words of consolation. The first word of words of consolation is, don't worry, Rabbi Tarfon, you really goofed. Meaning, it wasn't just a mistake, it was a gross error of judgment. That's what's called Tobit Var Mishnah, and that's not a ruling, and so therefore, you do not have liability for that. That's number one. Number two is that even if it wasn't Tobit Var Mishnah, it was Tobit Shikol Hadas, but still, you're a mumcha, and that indemnifies you, and that protects you from any type of liability. Okay, so those are the two possible words of consolation that Rabbi Akiva could have given to Rabbi Tarfon. Now, they're not real words of consolation. Ultimately, Rabbi Tarfon did make a mistake, but just in terms of financial liability, Rabbi Tarfon was cleared of financial liability.
Was the student, or was it...
I don't know. In other words, they're always together, the same generation. I don't know who is the student of whom. I do not know. Right. Yevamos Samech Beis. Okay, so we can... Okay. Okay, good. I mentioned yesterday, Rav went to school to study Bechoros and to find out what a blemish is and what a blemish is not. He didn't go to school, he actually went to the farm. And for over a year, he studied in order how to know how to be matir a mum. And so, now someone comes over to you and asks you for your expert opinion. Okay, so whenever someone renders an expert opinion, so there usually is compensation, especially if it's going to take time, right? If it's going to eat into my day and cut into my day and prevent me from doing other work. So it's fair for me to ask for compensation. So the Mishnah here is going to deal with that issue. Hanotos chalios rosa bechoros en shochten al piv. Ela im ken haya mumche ke aila biyavna. Shitiu lo chacham alios noto arba yisrom lebehem adaka vishisha legasa bein tam u bein bal mum. So generally speaking, the Mishnah says you can't take money unless you are a mumcha, unless you're an expert. The Mishnah uses as its benchmark of an expert a person by the name of Ayala. So, okay. Now, there are two aspects to Ayala. Number one, he was a mumcha, and Rashi points out, number two, he was a chassid. Okay? It's correct. Long coat. we understand. Huh? They didn't start it. You know, they could take credit, but they didn't start it. So two things about Ayala. Number one, he was a mumcha. Number two, he was a chassid. Now, the both of those points are important. Number one, he's got to be a mumcha because, simply put, he's got to know what he's talking about. Right, you're going over with your animal. There's some sort of physical deformation of the animal, and you want to know, does this qualify as a mum? So you need an expert. You need an expert opinion. So the first thing that he needs is a knowledge base. But number two is the following: you understand that there's a lot of things to be suspicious about over here, meaning that first of all, how does the pay structure work? You get paid for rendering an opinion that it is a mum. You get paid for rendering an opinion that it's not a mum. Either way, there's a level of suspicion that if you're getting paid to render an opinion, so your opinion can be swayed. How often do we hear an opinion from somebody who's paid to give that opinion, and you say to yourself, well, all right, like, by the way, any advertisement that you find, right? Someone's promoting something. They're getting paid to promote it. So does he really objectively think that what he's promoting is good? Not if he's getting paid. You understand that he's not promoting the item, he's promoting himself. So there is always an element of, if you're going to get paid for your opinion, you have to be beyond reproach. You have to be of a certain ethical standard. So what the Mishnah tells us is that that's what we need to find. Somebody who's both a mumche and has a certain ethical standard. So they in Yavne, so they allowed Ayala to rule on the animals. And by the way, he got, depending on the size of the animal, that's how he got paid. Arba isuros for a behema daka and shisha, 50% more for a large animal. And the Mishnah says, and it does not matter what his ruling was, for obvious reason. Meaning if he ruled it was a tam, he got paid. If he ruled it was a balmum, he still got paid. Now, my time ahay nafish tircha v'ahay lo nafish tircha. So the Gemara first off explains why 50% more for a large animal, but the answer is obvious, and the Gemara says the obvious answer. Larger animal is going to take more of his time. It's, you know, it's a bigger animal. There's more surface area of the animal. There's more for him to have to look around the animal, so therefore he's entitled to 50% more wages. Bein tam uvein balmum. Now, we're going to have a great discussion, short, but a great discussion about the pay structure. How is he going to get paid for rendering an opinion? So it sounds like from the Mishnah that regardless of what he opines, he's going to get paid. Now, bishlama balmum mishum dekashari le. So I understand by a balmum, so he's permitting. Ela tam amai. But if he's rendering that the animal's a tam, it's an opinion, but nothing's changed. He didn't change anything. So the Gemara says, "Dim kein asal mechshe day, rami hay bamum tamhu v'hay dekasharilei mishamagra." So the Gemara, gives an obvious answer, because if you only pay him for giving an opinion that he's a bamum, so then you will no longer look at it as an opinion, as an objective report about the animal. But you will simply say to yourself, as will everybody, if he's getting paid to render an opinion that the animal's a baal mum, and you understand, that's the opinion everyone wants to hear, especially after the Chorban HaMikdash. So the only opinion that matters to us is that the animal's blemish, so I can now go home and eat it. It's the only conclusion I want to hear. So what the Mishnah basically saying is, and what the Gemara is explaining is, if he only got paid to give that opinion that the animal's a baal mum, so now everyone's going to say, he's not done an objective opinion. Okay, now wait. Ihachi tamnami. Amri baal mum uvai delo kashari le saviki hechad lishkol agre zimna achrite. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, if we're worried about what people are going to say, so we could be a little bit cynical. Okay, we have that ability. Fight it, but we can be a little bit cynical. And so the cynic will look at this guy, and the guy is now rendering an opinion. Oh, it's not a baal mum, it's a tam. Why don't you come back to me in a week? And let's do this again. Okay, and so, okay, good. Another more money for me. And so if you really want to try to clear him from doubt, so I don't understand, even if he's collecting money to render an opinion that the animal is not blemished, so the cynics around the world will say, he wants another payday. So that's why right now he's rendering the animal to be a tam.
That's a good reason why you should only pay him for tam.
Wait, so the Gemara says, takin le rabbanan. Okay, so the pay structure works like this, is that he will get paid for looking at an animal one time. Meaning, the payment will be a one-time payment. And so, and that means now that once I paid him for this animal, so now it's a contract. Where basically now, either render it to be a balmum now, render it to be a tam now. If it's a tam, I have now allowance to come back to you and to get now a second, third, fourth opinion until...
Without getting paid.
Right, and from this point forward, this one payment will cover the animal indefinitely.
So once this is suspicious, he will say, either way, it's a moon, but
yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of cynics in... So Tosus is going to ask your question.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So now, the Imtomer, take a look at the top... The Imtomer. So Tosus, top Tosus on the Amud. Akati Amre, hi Tamu. So the Hadashari Le Lafisha who wrote the Latroch Pam Lafisha Ina wrote the Latroch Pamacheres. So Tosa says, I understand. We're worried about the cynics out there in the world. So here's what the cynical say. Really, the animal is a tam. And why do you say it's a baal mum? Because please don't bother me again. Right? Like, honestly. Like, in other words, this is the only payment I'm getting. I'm not getting another payment. And now if I say it's a tam now, I'm going to see you again in a week, it's a baal mum. Okay? Enjoy. Enjoy your animal.
Why would he go back after if it's some again? Why would he need to go back?
Because he can't eat it. He can't eat the animal until the animal is a blemished animal. It's a bechor.
No, but it says it's tam,
right?
No, tam means it's a non-blemished animal. So every single time now, the owner of the animal hears it's a tam. And when I say owner of the animal, I'm probably talking about the kohen. I mean, the kohen's holding the animal now. It was given to him by a Jew, by Yisroel. And now he can't eat the animal. This is after the destruction of the temple. He can't eat the animal until a mumcha says to him, it's a blemished animal. Hoping and praying that the animal develops a blemish. Right. And now hoping and praying that this person over here, or this mumcha, is going to say to him, the animal's a blemished animal.
So the incentive is going to...
Yeah. And what now Tosfos is bothered by is that the cynics out there in the world will say that you came to him and he said to you it's a baal mum, only so just don't come again, don't bother me again. So v'yesh lomar, so Tosfos, second line Tosfos, so he makes the following suggestion: shelo chayvu chachamim liros pam acheres eladim ru den yacholito alav schar. So one possibility, says Tosfos, I heard somebody in the daf make the suggestion that you don't have to see it again. Meaning you're not, right, unlike, I know we described it as a contract, but Tosfos makes a suggestion, maybe, right, it's an option. You don't have to look at it again. If you'd like to, you may. That's one possibility.
You get somebody else to look at it, another mumcha?
But then, but then I'll have to pay again. V'oh, debezeh lo yachshadu la'olam shi'atir sa'itzer kedei lehinatzam etorach shal pam shnia. Or, Tosfos says, maybe we're not that cynical. And I say maybe. Maybe we're not that cynical, meaning just for the burden of having to come back again, and the only reason why I said the animal's a baal mum, only so I don't have to see him again. So Tosfos says, to that degree, people are not going to be choshed. People will not be that suspicious.
You don't really lose anything by seeing it again.
You do in the sense that you're going to lose time.
You're that busy that you're seeing the animal.
Okay. Hanoto schar ladon, din of betalim, getting paid as a judge. We're going to just ignore the judgment. Judgment is ignored. You can't accept money to judge. Lahaid, rega, lahaid edus of betalim. What if you're paid to be a witness? Oh, done. Lehazos lekadesh. Strange example of the Mishnah. What if you're paid to sprinkle the para aduma, ashes and water? What if you're paid for that? Right? Again, it takes time out of your day. It eats into your day. So you get paid for it. So mei ma'ara and efer mikla. So the water that you sprinkled is regarded as water that was drawn from a cave, meaning not mayim chayim. And the ashes that you sprinkled are now going to be regarded as being basically the ashes that you got from your fireplace. Worthless.
We'll discuss.
Give a moment, please. Im haya kohen mitam uhu mitrumaso ma'achila umashka v'sachom. Now, what if you need the services of a kohen, and in order to get those services, you are going to have to basically take the kohen through an area of tuma, and now the kohen. Now, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. How can the Kohen go to wherever you're going if he's going to have to become Tamei? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. But in the meantime, however, so in order to get him to the point where you need him, he's going to need to become Tamei. And he's got Truma. He's walking with Truma in his hands, and Truma becomes Tamei. And so now we're not talking about paying for his services. You're just talking about paying for his losses incurred by having to help you, if traveling expenses, if you will, so that he can collect. any loss, he doesn't have to suffer a loss for doing you a tova. So you can feed him, you can give him drink, and anoint him with oil, which back then wasn't a luxury, that was a necessity. Let's just finish the Mishnah first. Now let's say he's an elder, and he can't walk on his own, and he needs to hire a donkey so that he could travel. So that's traveling expense, you pay for the traveling expense. And the last line of the Mishnah is super important, meaning he just took out time from his day. So granted that you can't pay him for the services that he provided, but there's loss of income. So the Mishnah says, so you pay him like a poel, like a worker. What worker are you going to pay him as? So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss. Yeah.
In the case of poel, I think it's like teachers and so on, that if they had another job.
I'll discuss. Yeah. Okay, good. So you already know that there's that distinction that exists. Okay, so stay tuned. Yeah, right. We're not big believers in expert witnesses. Now there is a requirement on Beis Din. This is a more general discussion, not really connected to the Mishnah. There is a requirement upon Beis Din to get their facts straight. So Beis Din, as part of their judgment, has to lay down some basic groundwork. So you may not want to call that expert witnesses, but Beis Din is required to basically know things. So I don't know what to call that, but okay. But yeah, due diligence, right? Just basic prudency. That Beis Din has to establish certain basic facts. Okay, so but
so
we
say the last one, the
Nelson and the Sarah Kabbalah,
who is going on
the coin? It sounds like everybody. Sounds like everybody in the Mishnah. Yeah, so is that true? In other words, you have traveling expenses for a witness? It does sound like it's going on and everybody. I'll quote Tosis in just a moment, dealing with, you know, the obvious question that people are going to deal with that I have to deal with daily. But, okay. First things first, though, let's start with the Gemara Menahanimili. I'm Rav Yudah, I'm Rav Damakra, Rei Lamati Eschem, Chukim Umishpatim, Mani Bechinam, Afata Bechinam. Now, I taught you, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Chukim and Mishpat, I taught you Torah. Moshe paid Hashem, no. So, it is a little bit different, but, okay, you want, you're bothered by the philosophical issues over here. Okay, I'm just worried about the
You're making the comparison.
I understand. So, Ma'ani b'chinam, afata b'chinam. So, we have to mimic God. Right, that's our major job in this world. Right, mahu rachum, afata rachum. So we have to mimic God. So when God teaches Torah, He does so pro bono, no payment. So when we teach Torah, same. Okay, just as a side point, by the way, I do feel, you know, as I read this Gemara, I feel like a total hypocrite. But okay, I'll have to get over my own conscience right now. Tanya, don't worry about making me feel better. I'll you know, another time. Another consolation comes another time. All right, but that's indirect payment. You're not paying him. All right, so wait. We all know the svaras, but let's just go through the Gemara. Tanya na mihachi kasher tzivani Hashem elokai mani mechinam afata bechinam uminayshim lo matza bechinam shilamei b'schar. Now, right, the Braisa, it's so smart. The Braisa now deals with the following scenario. Look. I'm trying to learn Torah, and now I know the halacha. The halacha is that someone has to teach me, and does not need to charge me. And meanwhile, I'm going around town, and everyone's asking to get paid. And so, I can lay now a legitimate claim to God after 120 years. I wanted to learn, but no one was willing to teach me for free.
Wow, that's a good one.
It's excellent. That's amazing, right? And so now, my prepared defense. To the Ribbono Shel Olam is that no one was willing to teach me Torah for free, hence I'm okay. So what the Braisa now deals with is no. You have to pay someone to teach you. I understand their obligation is to teach you for free. That's true. But now I'm turning to you, the student, and I'm saying to you, the student, but if necessary, you're going to need to pay to learn. Tamalomar emes kene. So here we turn to a pasuk in Mishlei, and the pasuk in Mishlei says, no, you gotta buy wisdom, even if it's at a cost, right? You gotta buy it. Emes kene. Ominayin shelo yomer kishem shelo maratia beschar af alamdeno beschar. Human nature. I paid to learn this information, and now next generation, I'm now going to teach it. I'm going to charge to teach it. So tamalomer emes kene the altim kor. We'll finish the pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei ends. You, if necessary, you'll buy your wisdom, but altim kor. But don't sell it. Meaning, in terms of teaching Torah, pass it on to the next generation. And if you want to do it appropriately, you'll do it bichinam. You'll do it for free. Okay. Now, just to assuage me a little bit, I'll do the consolation. So the just to assuage me a little bit. So the practice for years, for centuries, is that mechanchim have gotten paid for teaching. So there's a lot to be said about this topic. Again, in the daf, we just scratch surface. We don't do much in depth. Tosfos right on the daf. I don't even have to go that far. Okay, third Tosfos on the daf, middle of the Tosfos. Uma shenoagim achshav lomo tor bischar im einlo bamales parne share. So Tosfos says, you want to teach Torah, you want to get paid. So Tosfos says, I believe that's permissible. Ve'afilu yeshlo im uschar betela demuchach sheminich alaskav umasa matan shelo mistaber dechashiv muchach yoser mikarne detay chamra v'shakel zuza va'od. So number one, Tosfos says, is that it's schar batala, meaning that you could have been preoccupied with something else, much like the Mishnah, and we'll talk more about it in just a moment. Much like the Mishnah allows you to collect in lieu of the fact that you could be doing something else right now. So Tosa says, you have that. So we're not going to call that wages. We'll call that opportunity lost. Mm-hmm. And then Tosa goes on, Va'od b'ketanim share. A great line of Tosfos. Feel free, please, to quote it as often as you'd like. Tosa then says, and also, if you're teaching young children, then for sure, your heter, your dispensation to get paid, is that much greater. Why? Tosfos says, "Mitam shimur uschar pisuk ta'amim kedemuchach perek ein ben amudar." Because what you're doing is you're babysitting, and that is a value. In other words, that's something, right? That's a service. That's a real service. You're not obligated. You're obligated to teach Torah for free. You're not obligated to babysit for free. That's not something the Torah demands of you. So for the babysitting services, so that's what you're charging for. For the actual limud haTorah, no, that's a bonus. Right, the school should line item. I would love to see that bill come home from school.
Good
news. That's a great. Okay. Lahazar Afro Mikla. Now, by the way, okay, all the fun stuff aside, do you understand how the Mishnah basically operates now? Meaning, what the Gemara determined is the following. When you teach Torah, you have to teach Torah for free. Ma ani b'chinam afata b'chinam. Essentially, what we did is that we extended it to every case of the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah was not limited to limud haTorah. The Mishnah included being a judge, aid. You know, it's funny. I mean, Stuart pointed this out in the back. I don't know if aid is the same. I'm not sure if getting paid as a witness is the same exact issue. It's really more an issue of nogeya be'edus. But, okay, I'd like to take edus and put it, you know, aside from the other points in the Mishnah. You can't be a judge. Being a judge is a mitzvah. To serve as a judge in a court is a mitzvah. Sprinkling the paraduma, that for sure is a mitzvah. Someone's tameh?
Don't judges get paid nowadays?
Again, so you'll go back. So for all that, go back to Tosfos, go back to the... Okay, but I'm just explaining the basic structure of the Mishnah, right? If you're doing a mitzvah, you should not get paid for doing a mitzvah. Limud Torah, if you will, that's a binyanav. That's just a case study. But the precedent that's set forward is that any time you're doing a mitzvah, shouldn't get paid for doing the mitzvah. And the examples in our Mishnah is being a judge, sprinkling the paraduma, the ashes of the paraduma. Those are mitzvahs, you shouldn't get paid for that. Schar batala and the opportunity loss, that's a different story. But for the wages, services for actually doing the mitzvah, you shouldn't get paid. Now, the Gemara continues. Problem is, we have a Mishnah Kedushin, and the Mishnah Kedushin says, I go over to a woman and I say to her, I'll sprinkle you with paraduma, and it's romantic, and I want to be mekadesh you based on the value that these services have. And you can do that, by the way. In other words, usually Kedushin is affected with a ring or money. But if there's something that has value, if services have value, you could be mekadesh with that as well. Meaning it's shavah kesef, it's got value. So I'll do your taxes for you. Right, now, that's really romantic. Okay, so Amar Abaye Loka, so you see the problem, meaning the Mishnah Kedushin says that you could be mekadesh with that. And our Mishnah says you can't charge for that. It's funny, you know, I would have simply said that you can't charge for it, but if you do, right? But I guess, and the Gemara doesn't like that. The Gemara would like a more fundamental distinction between the cases. Amar Abaye lo kasha, kam b'schar haba umilui, kam b'schar haza v'kiddush. So Abaye gives a very simple answer, which is, look, for the actual sprinkling, you can't charge for that. That doesn't have value. That's a mitzvah. But for all the prep work, milui, going and getting the water, that you can't charge. Dekanami diktani hachalazos lekadosh v'hasim ktani amekadosh bemechatos ve'efrachatos shmamina. So the Gemara says yes. In fact, you read the Mishnah carefully. The Mishnah here indicates that you are being you can't charge for the actual sprinkling for kiddush, for all the prep work so that you can do. The Gemara over here is bothered by the extraordinarily technical question, but it's a good question. If the Kohen needs to become Tamei, and he's going to actually suffer a loss, so he can get compensated for any loss he's going to suffer. I.e., says the Mishnah, he had Truma, and the Truma becomes Tamei. How can the Kohen go there? Wherever you need him to go. If he's going to become Tamei, how can he go there? So, Iu Gufe Hechi Azil, Labeis HaPras Derabanan. Answer number one of the Gemara is that, well, it's not real Tuma d'Araisa. It was a field that had a grave in it. Somebody plowed through by accident, scattered bones throughout the field. This is what's called the Beis HaPras. It's only a Tuma d'Rabanan. And the Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Menafech Ad Beis HaPras V'Holech. What you can do is you can blow your way through a Beis HaPras. Now, I never really fully understood this. We see this, the Gemara say this again and again. Sounds like he's on his hands and knees. Here's my visual. I don't know if I'm right. He's on the hands and knees and he's blowing the dirt to make sure that there's no... Right. If you had like one of those leaf blowers, so that it's a little bit easier, but that's a modern visualization. I'm not sure. Okay, you understand. All right, Rav Yehuda bar Ami Mishmei de Rav Yehuda Amar Beis HaPras Nidash Tahor. If there is a path that's been trampled upon through the Beis HaPras, and now you know that there are no scattered bones over there, that's fine. Inami b'shar tumas de lo muzar alayu. Or a simple answer, says the Gemara, is that we're not talking about tumas meis. It's a simple answer, meaning other forms of tumas, the sheretz, a nevela. In other words, a Kohen's going to become Tamei. The only Tumah that a Kohen has to refrain from is only Tumah's mace. Okay, simple answer. Ima yazaki markiva l'chamor, tana kapo batal amrabai, kapo batal shal oso malacha. lost work opportunity you can compensate him for, depending on what he does for a living. So if he's a high paid, if he's a skilled laborer who gets paid a lot, so you need to compensate him based on that. If he's not a skilled laborer, if he does a simple menial job, which does not require a lot, and you're now taking him away from that, so you only need to pay him for that as well. You only need to pay him based on what his job could have been.
You can't pay him any more than his job stated.
Right. Correct. Okay, we'll have to stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Okay, oh, the great topic's coming up to end the fourth parak.